All right, let's kick it up a notch here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show as we go national. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, right across all your Sportsnet platforms. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Are we doing text messages, Sammy?
Nope, that's in the lineup from Friday. I forgot to take it off. And also, the Jim Hiller clip there is also 5 days old. So
we're just going to play a throwback Kings
clip. Wow, are you prepared?
Leafs night, baby.
But on
I play golf today. Too,
on a,
so
good,
I got no
on a good note is that you brought us the boys' medium Edmonton Oilers jersey.
Well, they're starting...
That's a start.
It gets funny. We should put smaller and smaller ones up there every week.
I actually feel like bringing on Henrik Lundqvist, that's what the jersey we have off. I feel like an idiot.
Oh, well, as you mentioned, Henrik Lundqvist will join us in a couple of minutes. NHL analyst on TNT, the sixth winningest goalie in NHL history. He's been on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's great to, are we zooming him? Because I don't need to be reminded of.
Yeah, we should have a no zoom
how
rule.
How handsome he is, and how like half chewed caramels we are.
I got news for you, brother.
Yeah,
we're zooming.
Is he gonna wear like one of those killer suits?
A monocle.
Buddy, I have no idea.
A top hat and a monocle.
No idea.
All right.
Well, all right.
So, a couple of series start tonight. Edmonton Oilers are back at it. My cousin wants me to yell at you for disparaging Calvin Pickard in the first part of the show.
Yeah, he's the man right now.
He's the man. He is, do you believe? I guess we're going to ask the goaltender after this, but can the Oilers win with Pickard?
The answer is like, win what, the Stanley Cup? the series?
Yes, the Stanley Cup.
I think Skinner's going to see some action in this
series.
He'll
get his chance before it's all said and done.
Yeah. And you think Pickard can ride this?
I'm with you. I think I would have gone back to Skinner. Like, they just think he's the better goaltender. They've given him all the starts. He did it last year.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone back to Skinner this early.
No.
But
if you can afford to take a loss, can't you?
A loss brings Skinner back in for game two.
One? All it takes is one loss?
All it takes is one for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Capitals Hurricanes tonight too. Freddie Anderson officially in.
Can we just quickly just before we move off Pickard? Like, everyone's like, oh, you know, backstops him too. It's like five goals flew in the net every game. Like, it was just like, it wasn't like he was exactly Henrik Lundqvist in there. Like, they just scored a ton. He wasn't particularly great.
I did.
I'm sorry.
Some AWS analysis that'll be on an upcoming night.
Yeah.
And the Oilers' projected goal rate, like their chance creation, is 10 miles better than everyone else in playoffs. There's like the league and the Oilers. Their offense is unbelievable. You know who's really good at it? Corey Perry.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Draisaitl, of course. Yeah. Obviously, McDavid, all those guys, Hyman. But Corey Perry's just effective, man.
Mind and hands, baby. Mind and hands.
I think a lot with Pickard starting has to do with the whole team feeling of putting LA away. It wasn't just a McDavid and Draisaitl show. It
for
was
sure.
Like a total team effort. And you guys deserve to get us out of the gate in game one. And that's
right answer.
It is the right answer,
you know,
for me
like
too.
Meritocracy. You got the wins, you play the games until it goes sideways. Give them a chance to carry it or drop the ball. That seems fair.
Before Vegas and Edmonton, Carolina and the Washington Capitals, guys, 7 p.m. Eastern start right here on Sportsnet.
Mm-hmm.
You giving Carolina a shot here with Freddie Anderson back in starting?
Didn't we learn that the books have them as favorites yesterday?
Huge faves. I think they're minus 180 or minus 170 if I look.
So, yeah, people think the... I think this is going to be a really close series. I know the Capitals had a great regular season. They're the ultimate no one believed in us team, right? Like, what do they have to do for me to give them some credit? I know I'm getting from some Capitals fans.
I would pick them.
I don't think they're that good.
So you're Carolina.
I don't think the Canes are that good, but yes, I do think Carolina wins.
Really? Yeah, no. I think it's a fascinating matchup of two different styles.
All right. As advertised, the sixth winningest goalie in NHL history is now joining us, and no suit and tie. Phew. Whoa, I was really nervous there for a while. I was going to have to go change. Henrik, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. How's your start to the playoffs this year? Either covering it or at times maybe home watching some of these games.
It's been awesome. I think the game's been so thrilling, and the back and forth, and it's unpredictable. It's, you know, working on TV, you try to pretend like you know what you're talking about, and talking about the teams that are going to win it, and then you're all wrong, right? Because, again, I feel like there's so many teams that can win it this year. I think it's great for the game, for the fans. It's been awesome. You know, we had a couple really long shifts with TNT, last one last week, and I think we worked for 13 hours. So it was a lot of hockey that day. Excuse me. But overall, no, it's just fun to be around it and see the talent and the excitement that the players show.
With your career, you're not supposed to be working 13-hour days, man. You're supposed to be done with that level of efforts.
Yeah, you know what? When I sign up the different dates, I don't know how many games I'm signing up for. And then I show up that day. It's like, no, actually, we have 4 games today, back to back to back to back. I'm like, man, I didn't know that.
Top bound. So what did you make of that day? Did you guys have the Winnipeg game?
Let's see what, I mean, I don't remember. It's a blur. It's been so many games, right? But it was this past Saturday. So anyways, when you work that long, you hope for a really exciting last game, because you finish your shift around 1:30 at night, right? So it helps when you have 2 good teams going at it.
I did want to get your thoughts on the goaltending in that Winnipeg series in particular. We up here in Canada have been following that with great interest. Connor Hellebuyck is the best goalie in the world, except he's kind of not right now. What do you make of what's going on there?
Well, listen, I don't want to take away anything he's done during the regular season. Just phenomenal. So good. Like the numbers are incredible. I think he is playing behind the best defense in the league. So that obviously helps. But in the playoffs, you know, I feel like players are doing a better job getting in front of goalies, paying a higher price to make it harder for goalies. So sometimes you might see a dip. But I think if I'm Winnipeg, I feel really good. The fact that you won the first series and you haven't seen the best of Hellebuyck yet. So obviously that's great news for them.
So Henrik, you speak of the attention to detail players have in front of you this time of year, and there's no question whenever I played in the playoffs, it was like, go to the net, bug the goalie, bump the goalie, take the goalie's eyes away. And it was not comparable to a regular season game. We know that. What about the difference and the slide between a style of play for a regular season goalie to a playoff goalie? What did you experience in terms of what you needed to change to make that transition, knowing that the players are making those changes?
Well, I don't think you try to change anything, but goalies that are really good at playing through traffic and finding pucks through bodies usually have better success in the playoffs, because if you watch, a lot of the goals are just wristers up top through guys and deflections. So if that's something that you struggle with a little bit, it's going to hurt you a little bit in the playoffs. You saw how Hellebuyck got hurt a little bit last year in the playoffs from up top with a lot of screen shots. And it was kind of similar in the first round here as well. But again, I think it's a big part in playing in the playoffs as a goalie. You will be bumped into more because there's more, it's just crowded in front of you. Mm-hmm. So in a way, you just, as a goalie, have to embrace it. The fact that they're going to bump in more into you and be more in your face. And then again, the screen shots is a huge part of it. So you have to be so active, try to find the pucks more than just stopping the ones you see.
So do you physically have to change your game in playoffs? I know you obviously had some structure you would have relied upon, but did you find that you had to play a different game?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't change anything. And for me, I played pretty deep, so I didn't come outside the crease very often, so obviously that helped, and it was crowded in front and getting less bumped into. But no, the way you approach it, the way you practice, you don't want to change change things. I mean, whatever helped you have success during the regular season is going to help you in the playoffs too. But you have to be aware of certain changes that's going to happen in the playoffs and what we just talked about, the intensity in front of you and the more contact and more screens.
You're watching and listening to Henrik Lundqvist, who's now covering the NHL for TNT, sixth winningest goalie in NHL history. So, Henrik, when it comes to a guy like Sam Bennett or whoever you faced over your career that is constantly in your face, someone to watch for, and, you know, how did your mindset go in terms of a guy like that and still maintaining focus on the big picture here? Is it difficult in a seven-game series?
I mean, yes and no. Of course, they're all great players. They all try to do their part to make sure you're not playing your best game. But as a goalie, the best thing you can do is just be aware of it and know it's coming and don't react to it. Because if you start reacting to, you know, every whistle when they're in front of you, hacking and whacking your gloves, for example, and suddenly you lose a couple percent of your focus towards that instead of your own game. So I think going into any playoff series, you look at the team you're facing, you look at the players, you know them pretty good, so you know what's coming. And mentally you prepare for it. And I think that allows you to stay more in your zone and focus on your game rather than reacting to all these things, because it's going to happen. If you play a seven-game series, things going to happen, and you can't afford to overreact to the things that's going to go on throughout the series.
And oh boy, did it happen here in Toronto in Game 1 between Sam Bennett and Stolar. So give it to us straight here, like, you know, on what you saw, and if you were Stolar's and the Leafs, how would you react?
Well, here's the thing. As a goalie, you're very exposed when players coming from the side because of your stance and your neck. So it doesn't take much for you to hurt your neck or even get a concussion when players cut in from the side like that. In my opinion, it wasn't that hard when he came in from the side. But again, because of how you stand as a goalie and expose your head and your neck, it doesn't need much to have a big impact, right? But in terms of response, you know, again, you gotta be smart and as a team, how you go back and forth with the other team, because it is first to four series, right? So it's more than just one game. It's back to what I said earlier about not overreacting. It was unfortunate. I think it was it contact? Was it a penalty? Yes. But beyond that, I'm not so sure.
Henrik, what do you think about the decline of the every game starting goaltender? Like, if you look around the league, the Leafs kind of have a couple of options. Skinner and Pickard are doing their thing in Edmonton right now. There's a number of teams that kind of are trying to sort it out with multiple guys. Do you think that a guy like Hellebuck who plays all those games, do you think it affects him deeper in playoffs? Just guys don't play that many games anymore.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. You know, it's changed a lot over the last 10 years. It used to be one guy, and I mean, we used to play 65 to 72 plus games a year, plus the playoffs. And then I would say about 10 years ago, it started to change a lot in terms of game management and staying fresh. But I think, you know, if you're a top guy, you can handle it. You want to be out there, definitely. You don't want to sit out and rest to prepare for, you know, the next two games. But I think personally, too, when you played a lot, you relax more. You tend to get into a better flow, and you didn't have to work that hard to get that game readiness. Because when, at least for me, when I sat out, I was usually more tired coming back that first game after a break. If I set out one game or sometimes two games, coming back that next game, I felt like I had to work really hard to get my focus where it needed to be. So I love just play. I tend to relax more.
Yeah. So what would Henrik Lundqvist be like today as a teammate or, you know, living with you at home if you had to start your career over again, knowing that you'd never play more than 50 games?
Well, obviously you adjust to what's going on, right? It was an adjustment when I start going from 70, 72 games a year to 65 to 60. But you also understand it's a different view on how to manage it. Hold on. Someone is calling here. There we go. Am I back?
You're back.
Gratz.
I'm back.
Biz, who's calling you?
Actually, my wife.
Oh, you guys and now might I'm have to hang up on here. Us.
Where were we? Yeah, so again, I think players that come up now and enter the league, they're just so used to, you know, playing less and having a tandem. And for a lot of teams, it works well. Mm-hmm.
So how are you finding the adjustment now to the media side? How do you like being on that desk? How's it working with the boys at TNT?
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a fun group. I work with a great group in New York as well for MSG Networks, but not right now at TNT. And you know, you guys know there's a lot of off time and not being in front of the cameras, a lot of time discussing the game and what's going on around the league. And we're just having a lot of fun. So I look forward to, you know, covering a lot of great hockey here in the next, what do we have, 6-7 weeks. And obviously TNT, we have the finals on location this year. It was a blast 2 years ago when we had Vegas and Florida. So I look forward to it. You know, it's fun to stay involved in a way with the game. Not too much, but still watch and talk about it and sometimes get an opportunity to talk to players as well.
Is there like when we see a guy like Pickard who will go tonight, or you know, Stolarz, who's played more games this past 2 weeks than he ever has in his career in terms of high pressured, you know, stressful situations here. Is it a lot easier, Henrik, for a guy that's been groomed that way, like who's a pure starter, than asking guys who have never done it before? Like, are we overplaying that? Is there a shelf life for a guy that's never been a number one goalie to take this thing all the way to a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like we're overthinking it, overtalking it, because they would not be in the league unless they were a starter at some point throughout their career and pretty late in their career too. Yes, they have not been a starter in the NHL, but they played at higher levels, probably played in playoff situation. And for goaltending, especially, I think it's more about just knowing yourself, how you respond to pressure and expectations. And you dealt with that. Even if you're a backup in today's NHL, you've been put in those situations leading up to the opportunity to play in the league. So I would say most guys are ready for it. And obviously confidence is a huge factor. So as long as you get a decent start when you have to come in, I think part of it is to show that confidence for yourself, know that you can do it, but also to establish it for the team. They can count on you. So that's a big thing when you come in as a backup, I think, especially in the playoffs.
So looking around the league right now, who you got as a favorite? Who you like in here with eight teams left?
Well, I said when the playoffs started, I really like Vegas. I'm going to have to stick with them.
It's a good pick.
can't change now, but no, I love their decor. Yeah. They're big, heavy. It's hard to get in front of their net. And I think that's a big part in winning and losing in the playoffs. Who controls the middle of the ice? And I feel like they're doing a really good job. But back to how we started the interview, like there's so many good teams now, and it's almost impossible to know where this is going, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Logan Thompson or Freddie Anderson between Washington and Carolina? Who you like?
I love Thompson. I think he's been playing incredible all year, but you know, I think he raised his bar here in the playoffs as well. So really impressed with his year, betting on himself, you know, going there and having such a strong year. Good for him. So you know, I really like what I've seen from him so far.
All right, pal. Well, listen, we'll let you go.
All right.
Are you like in a penthouse on Fifth Avenue right now? Because it's looking like you're on like really
actually,
comfortable
I'm in
right
a,
now.
Yeah, we live in Tribeca. I'm going to run now with the kids. They have gymnastics here in 10 minutes. So.
All right.
New York City living.
Hey, really appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the rest of the second round, okay?
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
see you
thank
soon.
You.
That
appreciate
is
it.
Henrik Lundqvist looking like as calm, cool, and collected
as anyone I've ever seen the
on the planet.
Draw me like one of your French girls pose for an in. That was when, what a backdrop.
When he flashed up on the screen there, it took my breath away. I
was like, oh my God.
Are you just in the middle of a GQ shoot right now?
Oh, he's like, sorry, yeah, this is my photographer calling.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's just not right.
Good insight, man.
But you completely understand why, you know, success is a goalie. Just calm demeanor. Like, imagine that's your goalie. Like, where you're just like, you look at that guy, you know you have one of the best in the league, and he's just calm, cool, collected. It's
he
a beautiful
wanted
thing.
To be in every game. Like, that's, I know he said he'd adjust, and I'm sure he would, but I'm not even sure he'd be as good playing 45 or 50 games.
Do you think that there is a change in goaltenders now where guys don't want to play every game, where they just want to play half the year, and that's their preference? Because, like, you know, what kind of competitor doesn't want?
I think it's just being built towards a 1-1A, and part of it may be now more than ever not willing to commit to $8, $10 million to one guy, knowing that it's such a fickle position.
But, you know, it does remind me of running back in the NFL, where for a while they said, it doesn't matter who you have. You just need an okay one and you're fine. Mm. And then now, didn't they just give a few running backs a pile of money?
Saquon got a lot. Who's the other guy that got a lot? Really crushing my NFL knowledge.
Yeah, well, too. But like...
Derrick Henry got a lot.
With goaltenders, we've just kind of done that too, where everyone made $4 or $5 million. It was like no more big tickets. The Bobrovsky thing was a failure. Yeah. Yada yada. Everyone got
Carey Price still getting checks from the Habs,
and everyone got $4 or $5 million for like 5 years.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, Bobrovsky wins a Stanley Cup. Vasilevsky looks really good, and it was like, oh, like I think goalies are going to be.
What did Thompson get?
Revalued.
I don't know if Thompson made seven.
Everyone
might be at
gets
six.
Five or six.
Five or six seems to be the face, the safe window.
But it's the I don't believe in you enough to make you the guy.
I could
supplement that with a $1 or $2 million backup who might be better than you.
Or I could eat $1.5 million too and find a way to get rid of you.
Yeah. But you pay a guy 9, 10, 11 or whatever, Shesterkin, those
now
guys
you're
got,
stuck.
You're saying you're my goalie. Not many people are believed in like
Thompson
that.
Got
35 mil over 6 years, so 5.85.
Yeah, that's a great deal for a guy that now is your go-to guy.
Yeah.
And certainly getting the job done up until now.
Didn't they give Lindgren a contract too? Their backup?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I think he's at three and a half.
And that's thing though, you get a guy like that, five, you're at three, you got $8 million in goalies.
Eight and a half for two goalies.
Laughing.
While Ottawa's in for that with Allmark now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, several teams are in for that with a guy, and if you bet wrong on a guy at that big ticket, you're hamstrung.
And the Leafs have the best value.
What are they total this year? $4 million or something? No, Wohl's on 780 or
Wohl's
whatever this year.
Is kicks in next year. His 3-year deal kicks in
so
next year.
Combined, they make 3 points.
Yeah. And they've gotten some of the best in the league for it. So it's pretty good.
Good value.
Game time?
Time game.
Pardon? No. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. All right, so the two series that get underway tonight, we were talking about them earlier, Edmonton and Vegas and Carolina and Washington. So we looked at the series number for yesterday, and just to go into these games tonight, the Washington Capitals open up on home ice as they're the first seed in the Eastern Conference, correct?
Correct. Second overall in the league.
They open up as a +115 underdog on home ice against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Where's that based from?
It's a great question.
Well, like, where does that, because we think Sebastian Aho's going to win the Conn Smythe? Like, I don't know.
I don't think think the Caps are that good.
And I'm sure Bet365 uses a lot of analytics stuff in their line setting and all that. And you know what? The analytics love this Carolina team.
I will say, this is actually, I kind of regret what I said before about picking Carolina. I was rushing that thought.
Mm.
This is the prototypical big playoff team versus the Canes. The Canes have been the same playoff team for however many years. It does seem to end up favoring those big teams. Close series.
So there is definitely some value. There is some value in the Caps in this series.
No, Freddie Anderson's like track record for like disappearing.
And also, how big is like Tom Wilson and Dubois and Eller and Duhame and Protas? And, you know, that's a big group of boys.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised that Anderson's playing. Like, it just doesn't feel like this is usually what he does.
The nudge was only slight.
Yes, correct. Kind of like the one last night. And then the Vegas Golden Knights are opening up tonight minus 140 favorites against the Edmonton Oilers, who are plus 120 on the other side of the money line. So if you like the Oilers tonight, some good value on them. And as we start the second round, started last night, but we check in on the Stanley Cup favorites, the last eight teams. Your guess as to who the favorite is, gentlemen.
Betting favorite right now with a win in their pocket. Is it the Leafs?
It is not. Kipper?
I want to go Dallas.
Correct. It is the Dallas Stars, 4-1. They're 4-1. It goes to the Oilers at 4.5-1. Panthers, 5-1. Carolina, 5-1. Toronto Maple Leafs, 5-1. Vegas, 7.5-1.
There's your
bet. Winnipeg, the President's Trophy winner, 11-1, and the second best regular season team in the league, the Washington Capitals, 11-1. No respect for the regular season from Bet365. Does that surprise you?
Yes, is the answer.
Surprised me too.
Dallas, eh?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay, close it off.
Yep, okay. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 18 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Talk of Jason Robertson coming in.
Yeah.
That's a big boost to Dallas. I don't know where Miro Heiskanen is.
Still not ready?
I told you he had no chance of seeing the first round.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to suggest that he's not going to play in this round. Like, this could be where we see him, but like, he's still fighting a lot of issues in that first round.
Hmm.
So that would be great if we see him. But
I'm trying to make sense of why it kind of felt like he was getting close to showing him on the ice.
Well, they called him day-to-day. That's why, because they came out and made people believe that he could make an appearance.
Is that just trying to give the opposition something else to think about?
I can't speak of it, and I don't know what information that, you know, Peter DeBoer had on a daily basis from the medical team. Maybe that's how it was presented to him.
Quinn Hughes is coming.
You know, I have been, you know, in the coach's office there with the Marlies when we were in playoffs. And, like, what was the Trump line that, you know, with the media? It was flood the zone with S-word. You know, just give them a lot to sort of handle.
Yeah.
The more wrong information, the more you can give the opposing coach and team to think about, the better. Maybe that's the Heiskanen sort of thing. They're just like, yeah, maybe he's coming in. Maybe you should worry about that too.
So what you're telling me is they're sending Heiskanen to Alcatraz.
Or El Salvador, one of the two.
You know, the one thing about Dallas too,
yes,
is this Wyatt Johnson again.
Stud.
Hockey player.
Team Canada.
But he's not even 22 years old. You know how many game sevens he's played?
Four. In the NHL?
Yeah.
Really?
Three.
Yeah.
Or maybe four.
I'm trying to think.
I think it's three.
Okay. I don't have the answer. I just guessed.
Yeah.
It's a lot, though.
It's a lot.
And he's one of three.
He's 21 years old.
That's invaluable experience early in your career.
3-0, because he has DeBoer as his coach, who's 9-0.
How about, can we talk about DeBoer being 9-0 in game seven?
So hold on. Wyatt Johnson's got, I think, three goals in those game sevens.
Stop. Really? How do you not have a Stanley Cup when you've won 9 game sevens for DeBoer?
It seems like a statistical anomaly for sure.
It seems like if you told me someone had won 9, was 9-0 in game seven, I'd be like, they got a couple of cups.
Absolutely. No,
he's him and Nil also doesn't have a cup, right? Them winning would be very like Paul Maurice, late career. Good to see these guys get it. They earn it. Not that DeBoer's late career.
Do you think, I know you don't care about Team Canada stuff, it's a long way out, but you think Wyatt Johnson's got to be a consideration for it? two Dallas guys, Harley and him.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can we do the Connor Bedard?
I think
we'll do it after.
You know what? Okay. All right.
We'll
go to break, and then when we return, we'll get into Wyatt Johnson and this whole world championship, because it's linked towards your question on who's going to represent Canada in the Olympics next season.
We got to talk about your Islanders draft lottery. Hi-yo!
Number one.
Wow.
Have we got still a lot of meat on the bone on the Real Kipper and Bourne show when we return after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365.
Did you want to review our picks from the first round?
Oh, well, what do we do? Depends.
Yeah, it depends if you look like an idiot or not.
No, you don't look that bad.
Okay, then let's review.
So
that bad, he says.
Decision.
All three of us had Winnipeg. None of us got the games right. You said six, you said six, I said five. So none of us got the game right, but we all had Winnipeg. All three of us picked Colorado, and we're clearly all wrong.
Oh, we got robbed.
So we all picked Vegas.
No.
Yeah?
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I definitely did not.
You did.
No. Definitely did not.
He picked Minnesota.
Kipper, Borny, I went back.
Oh, sorry. They're playing Vegas now. Ignore me.
Borny, I went back and listened. Right. You picked them.
Did you pick Minnesota?
Gazdick picked Minnesota.
You mentioned Gaz picking it when I listened back.
All right. I thought you blew it on Minnie.
No, but we all picked Vegas, and you got the correct number of games.
I knew it exactly, just like I was saying
Vegas,
this whole time.
Vegas in six is what you said.
All right.
Kipper went Kings. You got X on that one.
See, this is what I meant. I picked it.
And then we both took Oilers in the correct number of games. Six.
Red hot.
We all went Leafs. You both got it.
Four for five here.
You both got it right in the number of games. I got the number of games wrong. Tampa, you took.
That didn't look good.
I got to tell you, you also picked Tampa to beat Colorado in the final.
Final, eh?
Yeah.
Wow, you got crushed in the first round.
Final, huh?
still looks good on paper.
Me
I was like Matthew shooting on the empty net last night. Just a bit outside.
And Kipper and I both went Florida, but we both said seven, and it was only five. And then Washington, we all had, and Borny got the correct number of games with five games. And then I went Carolina, you two went Devils. So I went I only got one wrong. You got a few wrong.
I went five for eight, but I did nail the games in about four of them.
I went seven for eight.
Sheldon has trouble this time of year.
He didn't have his number one set.
I know, but
that hurts.
I know it didn't help.
Didn't have his defense either.
But
no Dylan, no Hughes, no Kovacevic.
I know. It's just
no Siegenthaler.
Maybe they're not that good.
Maybe they're not that good.
Anyways. So second round picks before we get into the Bedard conversation?
Second round picks.
So we all three, just to remind everybody, all three of us yesterday picked the Leafs series in our first hour.
Yep.
Kipper said
I took Florida in seven.
And me and Borny both said Leafs in seven. So there you go. That's a pick for that one.
Yep.
Oilers and Vegas.
Give me Edmonton again. Give me six games. I think they're just getting hot.
I picked LA because I thought they would have been better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
From the net on out. I still believe that with Vegas. I did not see anything out of the 24 goals the Oilers allowed in the first round to LA to change my mind defensively for them. They want to, if that gang can outscore Vegas, good on them. But I think it catches up. I think the net and the blue line catches up to the Oilers. I'm going to go Vegas in seven.
Oilers in seven. They can win a game on the road to win it.
Wow.
Yep. Oilers in seven for
okay.
me.
Okay. All right.
And
so
then, go ahead.
Two series, two left to pick.
Carolina and Washington.
I've changed my mind since the start of the hour.
Okay.
I've put more thought into this. I'm picking Washington. Mm. I'm going to pick them in seven just because I'm obviously conflicted and seven's a bailout.
But... yeah. Kipper?
I'm not betting against the Washington Capitals. I think they wore down the Montreal Canadiens, and I think they will wear down Carolina. I like Brent Burns, but I think it's got to catch up to a guy that old.
Yeah.
They also have Slavin. That helps.
Yeah. No, Slavin. I think the blue line, I think
you like Chatfield.
365 or anyone else.
You like Pesci?
Would like jersey. Carolina's blue line as much as King Henry liked Vegas's blue line. That's it's a Slavin, Chatfield's a nice 4-5-6 for me.
Yeah.
I really like this guy.
Do you put Slavin in the 4-5-6? Is that what you just said?
No, Chatfield.
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 Okay, yeah, okay.
I like Chatfield at 4-5-6. Yeah. Late. But I don't know.
All right, let's speed these picks up here.
I don't need Sebastian Aho, a star, the game breaker for Carolina.
That's all they got, man.
Sveshnikov, is he going to turn into a star, a horse, this series?
No.
So what's the pick?
Washington and six.
Okay. I will say the exact same.
Okay.
Washington and six.
What did you have?
I have Washington seven.
Ooh.
And then Dallas, Winnipeg.
Jets talk
has home ice advantage again, and I think this one's going seven.
Mm-mm.
Did the first round get Connor right back to where he is as an MVP?
No.
Do you have any confidence at all that he dodged a huge bullet here?
Yes,
he will find his game.
No, I'm not super confident, but listen, both the Jets, Leafs, and Oilers picks are all a little bit like, I don't really know. These are close series. They're the Canadian teams. I'm rooting for them. Might as well bet on them.
I actually don't think this is particularly close.
Really?
You have Dallas?
Oh, yeah.
Not in five.
I'll say six.
You got scolded into
six. Yeah.
Scheifele's a game-time decision.
So is Morrissey.
Morrissey and Stanley all in non-contact jerseys today.
Scheifele with... a suspected concussion.
Sam Bennett sneaking there or what?
I just think Dallas, that moment, them overcoming that team, like they're playing any team must feel like the easiest team ever after playing them.
Yeah.
You know? Like that was a Stanley Cup final-esque first round, those two teams playing against each other. Going in, no Scheifele, no Morrissey. They're in tough.
Jets are in tough. If Dallas gets back Heiskanen, I get to change my pick to Dallas and seven.
Okay.
That's my one clause. Winnipeg and seven.
I'm Dallas and six.
Okay, one conversation we had zero time for yesterday.
You got to pick that one. Dallas.
I'll take Dallas in seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There
another,
we go.
Another seven, and then Dallas will eventually run out of gas, I think, going all these series distance.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. One conversation we didn't have yesterday, we ran out of time, but you guys wanted was this whole Team Canada as it links to the World Championship, as it ultimately links to the Olympics next season. Mm-hmm. So two added names that raised eyebrows, including mine, was Sidney Crosby and Nate MacKinnon going.
Sidney Crosby and Nate MacKinnon. Sorry. That's 37-year-old Crosby. And Hart Trophy winner Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah.
Okay, just confirming.
Yeah.
And okay. MacKinnon for sure? Because I it was
yes.
mentioned. It was
it's on the website. Crosby MacKinnon coming to Stockholm.
Good.
Yeah. Is this first of all? Is this just Sidney Crosby saying, "I have no meaningful hockey to look forward to. I haven't in the past few years. Give me this."
I think what you're getting towards is you think this might be him being like, I want to be at the Olympics. I'm representing the country because I want to be chosen.
He doesn't need to.
No.
He doesn't need that, though.
Okay.
He's going.
He's going.
He's
He doesn't matter how his year goes next
this
year.
This has nothing. He is the exception to the rule. You can look at 99% of the roster and say, you guys have something to prove to me with your commitment. He's excluded from that.
He could
have
30 points next year, and they'd be like, it's Sid.
He's going to the Olympics.
That's fine. So then, yes, that's the obvious answer, is that he doesn't want to have 6 months off hockey. He wants to play competition and stay in shape and represent Canada, right?
I do think if I'm going to do the bleeding heart Canadian take, is that we're back into the real best on best times, and he's the captain of Team Canada. And he feels a certain responsibility to captain Team Canada when they play at the men's senior national level. Like I think that he cares about this stuff. He cares about his Team Canada legacy.
And he knows he's going.
He just wants to go. And McKinnon's going to be there. That probably helps, too. They can have some chats.
If this is my team, then it's got to be my team now.
Exactly. So, I mean.
Which is.
Nightmare. Those two talking about, those two fan bases worried about who wants to go play for whose team.
Well, which, again, speaks value. Of the man's character.
Yes.
I mean, Sid's a stud. We've all agreed on that for a long time.
Okay, so where we're going with this?
Well, we're going with this is how can he feel this way and others can't still, and where this leaves Connor Bedard. And I've not read up on this, but the last I heard was that there might have been some injury involved or rest involved that has kept him from making a commitment to go.
Is that right?
Rest.
Rest?
You said rest?
Either he's hurt or he wants to rest.
Now, he played game 82, right?
I assume. I haven't looked in a while.
I think he played game 82. If he can play... and he just doesn't want to go play at the World Championships for Canada, I would be very frustrated. And so I'm not going to assume that he's able to. I'm going to assume that he is injured and needs to heal in time for next season. But if this guy can play, this would be really frustrating. You know, you talk about guys being handed things early based on their name and the weight. You know, am I alone in this?
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm disgusted that he's not going.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of this guy coming out of junior. I said he's going to score 50 goals in his rookie year. I loved him in junior. I loved the world juniors. I mean, Sid going, Nathan McKinnon going. I don't know how you couldn't change your mind.
So if like,
you don't want to go around, be around those guys and watch those guys' habits and play on the same team as those guys. Celebrini's going.
Well, and when we're picking centers for next year's Canadian team, like Suzuki is on now. He's like played his way, or at least close to Wyatt Johnston.
He didn't go either.
Yeah, that hurts him.
It hurts him too.
But Wyatt Johnston's going to go. You already got Sid.
Yep.
You already got McKinnon. You already got McDavid. Gets pretty darn hard.
There's a report in The Athletic. I'm just reading now. Scott Power says Bedard declined the invitation to focus on his off-season development.
Oh.
So, I mean.
Like, go play with the best players in the world. That's development.
Go sit beside Sidney Crosby and talk to him. Is there ever going to be a better development than that? I don't know. I feel bad ragging on him because it's just such an easy target. But this is a bad look, boys. It just is.
It's a bad look.
Okay. I'm going to give you another potential bad look.
Okay.
Okay? Is that... everybody's got this high standard that, you know, show me your commitment. Show me that you come here, you want to go to the Olympics, and one leads to another. And then you invite Marc-Andre Fleury, who's retiring, and he's excluded from that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. Which one is it? It's this is the link to get to the Olympics, or this is a... hey, let's invite Marc-Andre Fleury and have a great finish to your career.
I think it can be, we are trying to field the best team we possibly can. And, you know, if you're, that may include inviting Bedard, and it may include inviting Fleury. But one of them, in Bedard's case, it can have some impact in how committed people think he is to the program. Fleury, we know he's a Canadian hockey player. He's been to everything, right?
Yeah.
So it can be we're just trying to win the world championships, which we should try to win everything we're in. It's not developmental tournaments.
But you've got your who are the goalies going right now?
I looked at the roster. I can't find. Okay.
They played today in a pre-tournament game against Hungary.
Okay.
And Dylan Garand started, and Carter George, who was played for the Owens on attack this year, was the backup.
Okay. So if you have a chance to have an NHL goalie, you do it.
There's no NHL goalies right now going to it?
God.
I don't know.
Where's Montembeau?
The state of Canadian goaltending is shambles.
Where's
Montembeau?
Montembeau.
Where's he? Remember, he got hurt in that series.
The hamstring.
Yeah.
Okay. We have no other Canadian
Logan
NHL
Thompson's
goalies
in.
Available.
Binnington just finished. That's a tough ask, maybe.
I bet you he goes.
Okay, so we got to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
They
need humans.
NHL Canadian goalie right now.
Hey, good talk, boys. We figured it out.
Dude,
although my boy Carter George, wouldn't mind seeing him getting some games.
That is, that's sad.
It's getting pretty bleak, man. Hey, Sam Cosentino, do we got any goalies coming?
Yeah, Books. Find one for us.
Any goalies coming for Canada? Help.
Wow.
So, we good on that conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm annoyed.
We solved nothing. We're just mad at each other.
No,
now.
We solved something.
They have no goalies.
Yeah, we have no goalies.
That we solved something. Good for us.
Morning. Islanders.
Islanders. You know, I really appreciate the league after they took the All-Star game from Long Island, giving us the first overall pick.
A guy on the text line in all caps says, tell Justin the Islanders the only reason they got the first pick is because Bettman canceled the All-Star game, and that's the payback. All
Let
caps.
Let it be known.
Frozen envelope.
Yeah, whatever.
What was their percentage?
You
three?
Watched it happen, by the
three?
Way. 3.5%.
I can watch that show 10 times, and I won't understand it yesterday.
No clue.
The ball's popping, and then the numbers, and none
it
of them.
It used to come up with the logo of the team you picked.
There's no logo on the balls. So
I also didn't understand the order of the teams. It was like first, second, fourth. They were all, I guess, Utah jumped.
When they announced the Islanders as the first pick, that's when the show should be over.
It should be. It builds to that.
It should build to that.
Correct.
It's not like, it's like announcing the Miss America winner in a pageant
first.
And then saying,
stay tuned for who's third.
Stick around for the rest of the show and we'll tell you who's fifth. It's like, nope, I'm out. Islanders win. The show's over.
I know the sequence of balls was 7, 11, 12, 13, which I added up to 43. Next year will be the 43rd year since the Islanders have won the cup.
Wow.
It's meant to be. Kenny Morrow. Good luck charm for the Isles. Good to see him there. Guys, that Long Island needs this. They got that new building. They just need a star player.
Maybe next year would have been the year to win it.
Next year would have been preferred.
Yeah. Bo Schaefer, though, apparently is a stud. He was really good in that first game for Canada.
I don't love that in the year you get the first overall pick, the top guy's a D-man.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not as fun as watching.
Takes longer.
Yeah, you don't get to see, like,
Hedman in Dallas or in Tampa Bay, right? First 3-4 years,
A bit of a moose on roller skates.
You know, Dahlin, how long before Dahlin was a top guy? You know, like, it takes a sec. So, all right. But they're good to have in the end. So
go get your forward then.
Misa?
Yeah.
I am not going to sit here and pretend to know from the other.
Good.
I get people texting me, would you take Schaefer or Misa? It's like, I'm on the radio talking about the NHL every day. How much junior hockey do you think I see in a season?
Next year is the true, like, we are going to see an all-time tank job situation. Like,
how about the Penguins? Just never close to playoffs. Didn't get close in this 11th overall pick.
Gavin McKenna's played 13 playoff games. Like, he has 35 points,
by the way. They knew that. Like, you're racing for, the strategy is mind-boggling by Pittsburgh.
It's not going good.
Calling up Jari and having him win games at the end.
We're red hot. Why?
Right, to go get the 11th pick overall.
They'll be worse next year, and it'll be from Mario to Yager to Sid to McKenna.
It's coming.
Frozen envelope again! The Pittsburgh market! The Pittsburgh bottle! My ass!
The Pittsburgh market.
Our thanks to King Henry Lundqvist joining us at the top of the hour. All right, give me some scores tonight, guys.
Oilers 4-2?
4-2.
Carolina loses 3-1.
Sure. Sign me up for one of those.
All right. Don't go anywhere.
Games are coming up right here on Sportsnet. Enjoy them. And we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. You get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great night, everybody.